It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome to the Grilling Guys. It's the smokiest radio show on the airwaves, and we are once again coming at you jopless, and not topless, but jopless. But to fill in for the jop, we have Chaz Thompson, who's been a friend of the show for a long time. How are you, Chaz?
I'm doing good, Bob. You caught me on a day when there's no ice to fish, so...
Well, that's everywhere.
I could come in and join you in the studio.
I think Tennessee has it.
Really? I think just in their ice rinks.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. Just jop sick as a dog. I had that 6-week-long deal. I think he's got the same thing. And it's, man.
Well, hopefully he didn't catch it on his vacation to Mexico bring it back to
us. He did. That's exactly what he did.
No kiss and jop.
No. Darn it. I guess Lisa's not sick though, so anyway, good luck for the Joppy family. Hope you can get rid of that sick as a dog feeling. I'm gonna try and do a happy show, but I almost feel I feel almost guilty in trying to dance around the deck as the ship goes down. To me, there's so much going on in the world right now. You can't ignore it. I mean, this thing in Ohio has me sick to my stomach. It's not being covered much on the news, and the people down there locally that are putting out videos are horrific videos. We're not seeing the depth of this thing, and I don't know why. I don't understand why our mainstream press has taken a pass on this, because it looks like it's going to poison a great part of the country in the breadbasket for decades.
Well, Bob, I think it does bring back that old adage of you got to take care of things at home first. And as you were saying off air, there's family matters to take care of and little glimmers of hope that you can look at, like your grandkids. So you got to look for the bright spots.
Yeah, that's fine. You can look for the bright spots, but I guess we have a platform here, and I want to let people know that they have fellow Americans that are really suffering right now, and there's no cavalry. There's nobody coming to their rescue. The EPA is vacant. I thought that's what they were all about. This is like Chernobyl, but on a chemical basis. And I'm ashamed of the response our country's given these people. These are poor people. These are just salt of the earth, hardworking people, steel plant workers or whatever. You know, it's the breadbasket of America, and that crap is going right down the Ohio. It's going to all end up down in the Gulf.
Yeah, it probably will.
Yeah.
But at least it didn't happen in here.
Well.
Our Great Lakes are still safe so far.
Yeah, who knows? The weird thing is that a month ago, they played a movie called White Noise, and it was about a chemical train wreck in that very area.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that one.
Yeah, they're kind of telecasting what they're doing, but the world is, more and more people are aware that there's like World War III going on. It's not just the Ukraine.
No, and I think most people have started to realize they've got to dig for their own news. They can't just rely on what's being broadcast.
No, you can't. You can't count on the big three or four news media any longer. No. Actually, you couldn't for 20 years, but...
Let's do some grilling.
I want to take a little opportunity just to, I guess, lift these people up and keep them in your prayers. It's East Palestine, I think is what they call it.
Palestine.
And you can go to, you might not find a whole lot on YouTube. You might, I don't know. They're so filtered too, but there are ways you can get the information, and maybe you've got a church group or something like that likes to help folks out. What they really need is they need caravans of people to go down there with food and water, because these people are poor. And if you can't, it's like Jesus said, he who helps the least among us, right? It's that deal. These are not famous people. You're not going to go rescue Brad Pitt. Right? You're going to go rescue some dude who already
lost
his job.
You're going to rescue people that are thankful.
Well, they're starving. They're sick. They're scared. They're very afraid. And there's kids. I guess there's a swath of dead animals and dead fish that is beyond the scope of our imagination. They're reporting it, you know, miles away down the river. I mean, I fear for the health of those people that didn't get out of there. I don't think they were advised properly, and I don't think they knew what they were dealing with. And that poor governor, or that poor mayor, I saw him on a video last night, and he's just a guy like, he reminded me of you to a certain extent. He was a big stocky dude, not real tall, but, you know, big barrel-chested, and he's just got a beard. He's trying to take care of his town, and he said, I'm out of my depths here.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. And I guess that was tugging on my heartstrings. So if you have a group, and look into it anyway, smoke some briskets and bring them down.
Yeah.
They'd love barbecue. Smoke some butts. You want to make it last? Smoke some butts. Make them some beans, you know?
Yep.
Give them some protein. Those people, bring cases of water.
It'd be a good opportunity to get somewhere warmer to grill.
Bring them cases of water. No, I don't think there's any opportunity for you down there other than to help people.
No, I mean grilling while you're warmer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so have you been grilling anything, Chaz?
Oh, I got out there, you know, the snow's melted off the deck, and I'm able to get out there and get back onto the grill. You know, we got snow in such dumps this year, like three big dumps.
And then
50 degrees.
It'd
fill my deck.
Yeah.
And then I had to wait for it to thaw. Because my deck's small and I just don't have anywhere to shovel that snow. So I kind of take a break from that and go to the cast iron griddle in the house.
Yep. Nothing wrong with that.
And, but now I'm back out on the grill, and I actually did some fish tacos the other night.
Nice.
Just some fresh bluegill that I pulled out of a lake before the ice left.
Wow.
Hot tortillas right there, fresh on the grill.
Beautiful.
You know, just put down a big cast iron griddle off to the side, did them all up, and did them Yucatan style. It was great.
So it sounds like you need to cover your grill area.
Next house.
Next house. Next gen.
I live on a wind tunnel called the M6.
Really?
Yes. And there's a lot of breeze there.
You're that close to M6?
I border it.
Oh, wow.
So I deal with when you talk about the wind affecting your grill,
mm-hmm.
that hits me big.
Sounds like a future rental property.
That's where my thoughts are when I move to Keweenaw County.
Yeah. Yep, just find a property manager. So we're going to do a little pork loin work in the next segment. We're going to talk to our favorite butcher in the segment after that. And then we're going to do a little charity work ourselves here. So we're going to help out a company that is brand new and needs a little helping hand. So today's our mission work, all right? Get your pencil.
I'm in.
Get your number two pencil out.
All right, we got to hook up the truck and trailer and go?
Well, I just want our warriors out there to be ready to take on these grilling exercises properly. Pick the right meat, and when you see a business in need around here, help them out, because it might be you next time, and you'll be thankful if somebody rides up and throws a hand out, because I think we're heading for rocky waters, and we gotta learn to start helping each other. We've gotten to where maybe we're a little complacent. We're very complacent, just thinking about my beer, my grill. You know, I think we're gonna have to start helping each other. And that's what you see, people growing gardens, people raising chickens. I got a text the other day, hey, my girlfriend wants some help on how to raise a cow. I said, I'm in.
Yeah.
And she wants a milk cow. So anyway, it's the Grilling Guys charity work.
I can give the milking lessons. I did that as a kid.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be back in just a minute, but stick around for a little bit of Braided Loin.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. This is the Grilling Guys. We are going jobless today again. Our partner is down in the dumps. I just left his house and brought him some meds. And the boy's on the road to recovery, but he better be ready for what a lot of us have gone through this year, because these colds this year, they're something special.
Well, I think it's been the weather. You know, it's like our ice. It comes and goes and comes and goes and comes and goes. And that's really hard on your body, that, you know, your body gets conditioned to cold weather and it wants to stay cold.
Yeah.
We're Michiganders. We need a little snow.
Yeah, and it got cold early this last winter, and then it kind of warmed up. But I burnt through a lot of wood still. I have about a month's worth of wood left, and that'll be just about right. This will be the first year, Chaz, that I've ever made it through the whole winter with the wood I've cut. So my wife sends me things from time to time, bless her heart. And I didn't spell it right, thanks, Chez, but it's called a braided loin, I believe. And there's this guy, like a dad at the grill or something on Facebook and maybe YouTube, but cool guy. And he takes a full pork loin. The ones you buy in the store are a half a pork loin. They're actually twice as long as that. I bought a few and I was shocked at how big they were. But he takes all the skin off the outside, any fat and membrane, trims it up nicely. And then if you take one end of it and you take like a fillet knife, and if you think of that whole big piece going down, if you're going to put two cuts in that thing to make three pieces out of it, because what you're going to do is actually take those strands and you're going to braid them like a braid of hair. But before he does that, He puts his favorite rub on there, and then he braids them.
She was glad of that.
And smokes them. And it's just cool looking. I'm thinking there's other things you could probably braid in there. I was thinking like cheese and spinach, or I don't know, something to give it a little more color. But it's just a very cool presentation, if nothing else. When you're done, you've got this giant braided piece of meat on the cutting board.
We should talk to Brian and get some grape leaves. Those would go great in there with some garlic.
Ah, I've got jars of them in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be great in that braid. That
make
sounds
a little,
very
make a little Syrian dish out of it, huh?
Oh, Syrian, little Greek.
Syrians at the smoker. So anyway.
Curl it around on the big green egg.
I got to looking at that. Yeah, you could. You could make a wreath out of it.
That would be quite the presentation on your charcuterie board.
Yes. So I got to looking at pork loin, and you know how you go down a path and you just
get in a groove.
One thing after another. And it made me think of like the first time I ever smoked a loin. I had my store, and I was just starting to sell Primo Grills. 20 years ago, maybe. And I wasn't much of a smoker. I liked it, but I had a long way to go. This was in, I'm going to say, 2002, maybe. And George, the owner of Primo, came up and did a demo for a few of us. Really nice guy, speaking of Greeks. He was Greek, still is, but he sold the company to somebody. I don't know, Primo Grills, beautiful American-made ceramic oval. And he took a pork loin and smoked it on that Primo for, I'm going to say, about 2 hours. And that was the first time I had ever had a truly great piece of smoked pork. Because it was such a beautiful loin, and he had penetrated smoke ring that was almost half the loin, you know, that pink ring went really deep. And it was because of the pressure in a ceramic Kamado cooker. But I remember biting it and looking at this guy thinking he was like a Greek god. It's like, what did you do? And he was just laughing. And that's when I really got hooked on smoking. And it was with Primo. Funny, just a little memory there that I kind of forgot the first time I really got into smoking, but that was it. So it made me think of all the progress that I've made in smoking pork loin or pork chops, because we've all screwed up so many pieces of meat. Did you ever do a pork chop on the grill?
Oh, I remember when I first got my grill, and I had run over to the market and buy some pork chops just so I could test the brand new grill that
right.
I had just installed.
Was it gas?
Natural gas.
Yep.
And I turned it on into high and burned all the oil off it, you
sure.
know, to clean it up.
Seasoned it.
And I said, I need something with good fat content
yep.
to start on there to get some flavor going, because I just want to smell this thing.
Savory.
And I burnt those things to shoe leather because I had no idea the power of that grill and the
right.
heat that it could kick out.
Right.
And I hadn't, you know, it's first day, didn't know how to control
Who
it.
Who hasn't been there?
And, you know, a lot of those, this is a Weber with 8 burners. I turned them on.
Wow.
And that thing holds heat forever, and you throw a couple of.
Here's 600 degrees.
Yeah, a little Meyer thin pork chops on
so
there.
So those, yeah, yeah, they're like stickers.
Yeah, they're not a Tim 1-pounder here.
No.
These were thin, and I hadn't brined them or anything. There was no mercy, no safety net. They just went crisp.
I think of the first gas grill I got. My brother gave me an old grill because it didn't work, and I had it fixed in like minutes. There was really nothing wrong with it. It was kind of ratty and old, filthy. So I cleaned it up, you know, did what you do when you get something used, just like a car, detailed it out, and got it working. It's like, because I was dead set against gas. This was in the 90s, and I'm like, no way, that ain't right. And I got that thing working, and I thought, that's kind of cool. It's handy to have something that'll heat up real quick. And so my wife, bless her heart, she brought home a set of ribs, and she said, do it, honey. And I did. I put some salt and pepper on those ribs, and I threw them on that grill, and they were black as coal and tough as heck. And we tried eating them. And finally, after a couple of ribs, she just said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I said, no, I can't either.
No, it is a learning process with every new grill. And I've been there with those old ones. You remember over the brewery, we used to get
yeah,
recycled
yeah.
grills
they
all the time.
They still got a few of them over there.
And, you know, they last. Somebody gets done with them and
yep.
we rebuild them and use them for 3-4 years until they completely rust away.
Yeah, you just give them to somebody like Greenville Steel and let them press them.
But we did a lot of great cooking on those things, and there's a lot to be said for being able to instant on. Now, if you got Saturday, bust out the stick burner or the charcoal,
yep.
get your nice lump out.
Yep.
Really get into it and enjoy the day.
And that, you know, speaking of lump, that was, I was thinking about doing the show all on lump because I'm discovering so many new brands of lump charcoal. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, I was noticing them. I was at Tractor Supply the other day. They had 4 or 5 brands.
Well, I was
and
looking
usually
on.
Usually that's not the place where I'd look.
Right. I have the Home Depot app on my phone and I was looking at that and I'm getting a signal. Are we done here? Oh, Conrad, what did we do?
We were having fun.
We were. Okay, so in the next segment, we won't talk about loin unless Tim Sobey wants to, but we're going to talk with our longtime sponsor and great friend, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats in Grand Rapids. We're going to be right back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on Jethro FM and the Michigan Talk Network, as well as other stations around the state. And of course, if you are one of those people who likes podcasting, the guy who sets up our pods is here in the studio. His name is Chaz Thompson. He's filling in for Jop because we're jopless today. Welcome to the show, Jop.
Not Jop, but Jop's ill today. He's getting some cuddle time with the dogs as he heals
up.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. That's got to be. And, anyway, on the grilling line right now is...
Is that what he calls Lisa now?
I'm glad I didn't
the voice
say that.
Of none other than Tim Sobey. How are you, Mr. Sobey?
Doing excellent. Happy Saturday.
Yeah, did you go through enough poochkies?
We did. We started ordering them. I know they're not as good as, you know, if it's Marge's or Sandy's, and but they're a boxed one we can get in and have in time for people to pick up, and we only have just a few boxes left, so they've been really blown off the shelf. That's a good thing.
So you have your finger on the pulse, and the meat conversations I'm having these days with people are finally kind of, I think, waking up to thinking that, gosh, supply isn't always great in some things, like eggs right now. People are going berserk over getting eggs. Everybody's buying chickens at the tractor store. What is your opinion of how we're looking for your supply chain in terms of meats? Are there any meats people might want to stockpile a little bit?
I would say right now, don't do that. So here's what you run into, and, you know, as the Boy Scouts always said, always be prepared, right? So would it hurt to have a few meals in the freezer? No, it wouldn't. But we had this during the pandemic early on, and everybody was stockpiling, and all that did was cause, you know, a huge
inflation. Yeah.
So I don't see any major hiccups yet. Where I would say, you know what, the inside tip is you better stockpile. There's a little bit of a hiccup with higher quality beef. We don't have that from our local supplier with that American Wagyu. But yet, when going back to last summer when we had the droughts and everything, and they were cattle were dying or they were, you know, getting emaciated, they didn't have nutrition, so they were bringing them to market too early. When we got around the Christmas time, that really was putting the bind on having enough quality cattle in the pipeline.
Well, I'm understanding that nationally, somewhere between 4 and 6% of the beef herd is getting culled because of the shortage anticipated on feed for them. And I'm talking larger producers, the Cargills of the world.
Sure. And that's no big surprise. But yet, we're still, what are we doing with corn? We're turning it into fuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's keeping fuel prices high, feed prices high. So, I don't know, it's like, why are we doing that? That makes no sense. We got all the oil in the ground we need, but we can't touch that. But we'll raise corn to turn that into fuel.
I want to fuel me belly. So
yeah.
So what kind of meats right now are like flying off the shelf at Sobey?
Let's see here. I would have to say, you know, we had this little bit of a warm up, and as I always say, people are like birds, you eat to the weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a real quick switch here. It warmed up and everybody, we were just flying through steaks and brats and burgers for people to grill.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, we just had a couple of days of snow and cold, and it might be time to hunker back down and have that pot roast again.
Indeed.
You know, and Now we got this coming up week. It's going to warm up and melt off. The grills will be fired back up again. So it's kind of making a little bit of a mix. There again, sometimes, you know, as I say, you sound like a politician. I feel strongly both ways,
right.
You know. But fortunately, chicken prices have really, really dropped.
Have they?
They're getting the money out of the eggs. But we had talked about wings, you know, pre-Super Bowl. And they were about a quarter the cost they were a year ago for Super Bowl.
Well, and those two are not necessarily related because egg-laying chickens end up in McNuggets, not in any Sobey meat.
Correct.
That's not one you want to eat. That's a McNugget waiting to happen.
But
right,
the chicken farm needs both.
Yes.
If they're lucky enough to get there.
Yeah, they're lucky. I don't think they feel lucky.
When we had Gordy, the world's greatest egg man, still supplying us, and periodically they'll cull their flocks because they're laying drops in production. They just went to landfill. They couldn't even use them in dog food because what if there was a feather in there and a dog choked on a feather and died, so they couldn't even put those birds into dog food.
I'm sure you're being facetious with that.
I am not. I'm telling you the gospel truth.
A dog could eat the chicken while it's running.
I know that.
They're wolves. And they're coyotes. Say,
who's out there taking all the feathers and deboning the pheasant and the grouse and everything for the coyote and fox and cougar and wolves, which aren't in Michigan either, and all that other stuff?
Don't get me going. Now,
but you got to be concerned about Bob's chihuahua.
Yeah.
I don't have a chihuahua. I've got a pit bull. I'd like to see how much chicken you bring up to camp because I know those coyotes are fed well.
Oh, yeah.
How many did you take, can you say?
I would love to tell you that we cleaned up on them, but unfortunately, now we're coyotes 5 and us 0.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't score again this year, but God, did we kill some brain cells. I'll tell you what.
Well, I think there might be a correlation there.
Yes. But we're already working on a fail-proof plan for next year.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and we're talking with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Tim, tell everybody where you're at and how the best way to get a hold of you guys, of course, is go in the store.
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker. And stop in and see us. And if you've never been there before, we take great delight in our newbies making it in for the first time.
And if you are a newbie, make sure you try and track this big guy down and give him a hug because he's a hugger. And beside that, if you don't want to hug him, just hug one of his steaks because they are gorgeous, and they will cut them to whatever thickness you want. It's not prepackaged and filled with nitrogen. It's cut on the spot while you wait.
You know, if you get over there at lunchtime, there's always hot lunches.
Cheap. You can fill your belly. So, yeah, and of course, do you email out your specials?
We don't.
Okay.
But you can see them on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on Facebook.
That's where
yep.
I see them then. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yep.
So make sure.
On our website
and on
well.
Jethro every single day, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we do that during
oh,
the bunker.
My gosh.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to climb into the bunker here in a little bit. Any parting thoughts for the Jethro audience and the Grilling Guys audience?
I would say, you know, there's a lot of things circulating out there. So more than anything else, you know, people that you know and trust hang together, stick together through that all. And then some of the other things you hear in the media, growing up in the big metropolis of Marne, Michigan, I worked for the Chesla family at the store, and that's where I learned to cut meat. And Charlie, you know, at one particular time, we had a lot of gossip going around town. And I was talking to Charlie about it. He says, T, never forget, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. And it's good words to live by sometimes when you hear things in the media.
Yeah.
Sometimes they try to cause a lot of unrest as well.
So you weren't listening to the first segment, were you?
No.
Sounds like you're parroting my exact sentiments. I think it's the times we're in. To me, it just feels weird. I mean, there's a lot of uneasy people and a lot that are oblivious. So
yeah.
Anyway, Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats, stay in the hunt, stay in the fight, and watch out, coyotes.
There you go. Hey, have a good one. Love you guys. And everybody out there, if you haven't turned in before, tune in all the time to Jethro and Polka Pops.
There you go. All right. From the Polka King of Walker there, Tim Sobey. Thanks, Timmy. All right. Gosh, Chaz, we're having too much fun. I forget what's his face isn't even here. All right. Hey, we're going to be back in just a minute, and we're going to talk to somebody from the Broadway venue. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro Country with a Twist, as well as the Michigan Talk Network. And we're going jobless today, which means we have a guest host, which is Chaz Thompson, who is Jop calls him the baritone of beers. Chaz is a seasoned brewer. And he also takes care of a lot of our technical work with the website and helps Jop and I out figure out how to make a phone call sometimes because we're that technologically illiterate.
Yeah, well, I was done ice fishing for the year, so I said, let's go do some radio.
So I ran into this wonderful woman in Home Depot, and I don't know how the conversation came up, but she said she has a venue. And we just had this great conversation, and then she showed me pictures of this venue, and it's in Grand Rapids. So I said, you know what? I think that's a cool local story, or at least a great story for people. I do catering. I love venues. And on the grilling line right now is her husband, Nick Natale. How are you, Nick?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Now, tell us what you did. You bought an old church.
Yeah, that's correct. We bought an old church on the northwest side of Grand Rapids about 4 years ago now.
What street is it on?
It's on Broadway Avenue.
Oh. Well, your bride showed me pictures of what you guys have done on the inside, and I'm blown away. Tell us what you did to refurb this old church.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, when we bought it, it was in really bad shape. The congregation that owned it could no longer meet there, and so it was pretty run down. We would call it a complete gut job. All the trades needed to be done, plumbing, electric, HVAC, and then my wife, with her wonderful vision, came up with the design of it all. And we had, new flooring, new walls, trying to match the 120-year-old woodworking that was done. And then obviously turning it into a venue, we built out a kitchen. We put in a bar with a draft system. I mean, it was top to bottom, left to right.
So, Nick, are you in the trades?
I'm not.
You're just that handy, huh?
I'm an Italian guy, so I like to think I'm handy.
Your last name is Natale?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, Nick, how big a venue is it? How many people can you host at a wedding?
The largest wedding we've hosted so far is 250. Our capacity by city standards is 300.
So for those of you tuning in, maybe you're wondering why were, I guess, interviewing someone with a venue because he didn't mention anything about grills, and it's we have no affiliation. They're not going to sponsor us, nothing like that. It's just that I'm into catering, Job's into catering. We work in venues all the time. So when your bride told me about your venue, I mean, I'm now in all kinds of venues, and I really think it's a wonderful industry. But you have sunk a ton of money into this place.
We sure have, yeah, a lot.
And how's that going?
It's been rough.
So what kind of forces, what do you have? Why is your venue being, I would say, targeted by groups and governments and stuff like that? What kind of evil person are you?
Not the evil person they portray me. So, you know, we live a Christian life, and we have values that we pull from the Word of God. And we were asked if we would be inclusive to specifically LGBTQ weddings. And we made a stance based on our beliefs in the Word that we were going to stick to that. And we believe, you know, it's written that marriage is between a man and a woman.
How dare you?
So, unfortunately, yes, we've been attacked enough. So we call it cancel culture, whatever you want. Obviously, it's a divisive topic, but it's been very difficult to receive bookings because people have slandered us to enough of an extent that I think there's a fear of booking with us for other people to go through what we went through on social media if they, you know, post that they're booking the Broadway Avenue and
now see that's the poison part. The reason I wanted to have you on here is because this just bugs the crap out of me. I'm you know, we all wrestle with decisions people make in their personal lives and this and that, but most people are pretty accepting of all people. I mean, we all have, most of us have friends or relatives that have made that choice and decided to live that. You don't get rid of them in your life. You know, that's not what we're taught to do. We're taught to love all people. And I guess, you know, these people that want to pick on Christian businesses, that's the offensive part to me because you never see them going after other religions. And there are certain religions that might have maybe tendencies that would be less than civil.
So, Nick.
Correct.
Getting back to this venue, I got another question. You said you have a full bar.
Yep.
So, do you have everything everybody need as far as licensing and everything?
Yes, sir. We are licensed for the kitchen, obviously, through the health department in the state of Michigan. We obtained a Class C liquor license. We can actually, we paid for a catering, extra catering license so that if we were to do offsite events that we can travel with our liquor license and serve offsite.
Wow.
We really do market ourselves as a one-stop shop.
You're fully loaded.
So, Nick, how did they get a hold of you?
Right now, we have a website, thebroadwayavenue.com. Obviously, we're on Instagram at thebroadwayavenue. And then kind of our go-to inquiry email is hello@thebroadwayavenue.com.
Well, I'm sure you have a Facebook page, right?
We did. You're right. We did. Past tense. Facebook actually banned us.
Oh, you're shocking me.
No, they took our Facebook page down. They took my wife's personal photography, both personal and her photography business pages down on Facebook.
This is why I wanted to have you on, because I don't know how you can feel like you're doing something good when you go out and harm people who have invested, I'm going to guess, millions of dollars. I've seen the pictures. This place, This place is absolutely gorgeous. And if
the jobs they provided.
Oh, you know, the jobs they provided, the money, your life savings, you probably even borrowed money. I mean, how can you be so hateful as to go after a beautiful young couple like this that's just trying to live their dream and be faithful.
Hopefully in our listener group, we're going to have somebody that needs to book a wedding.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking. If there's anybody who's not afraid of all this political crap, it's the Jethro audience, because, I mean, these people, they're going to roll up with their pickup trucks and their cowboy boots on, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. Besides that, it's just a cool venue. Why would you not want to have such a gorgeous venue? And if your bookings are down, I'm guessing your pricing is aggressive.
Yeah, currently it's something that we're reviewing. We just did a menu pricing review, which I really head up, you know, being a chef in Grand Rapids for a long time. That's my background. And then Hannah's very much the venue side. So we're looking at our venue booking cost as well as menu cost and caterings.
A chef and with a wife who's a venue. That's perfect.
Oh, and she's a photographer.
Yeah. Dude, you got to check out the website. You got to see these pictures.
TheBroadwayVenue.com.
Yeah.
The Broadway Avenue.
BroadwayAvenue.com.
Well,
Jethro audience, flood that website. Yes. Check it out.
Check them out and make sure you pass it on to friends, because there's going to be a lot of weddings this year.
And if you got time, I can plug one more thing. We have a friend of ours that just like you guys cared, and hopefully, you know, your listeners, they have started a fundraiser for us to help navigate through this. If you don't mind, I can share that.
By all means. Website.
So it's going to give you a background of our story and how you can help us through prayer or even financial donations if you're able to. It's standingvalues.com.
Okay.
You'll find that. It's connected to a Give, Send, Go.
Okay.
Again, we know everybody can't help us, and we don't expect that.
We're out of time, Nick. Yep. Standingvalues.com. We're going to post you on our website as well. That's it. We're out of time. Chaz, thanks for joining me. Stick around. We're going back to the bunker.
Hey, all right.
We'll see you all next week.